Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, we begin a new series today. And the title of the series is God's Plan Revealed. In Paul's letter to the church at Rome, he lays out a very careful argument and moves from the sinfulness of man to the righteousness of God and how that righteousness becomes ours through the person of Jesus Christ. So we're going to begin this morning in Romans chapter 1, first 17 verses. This is just by way of introduction, but I would urge you this week to read through the book of Romans. It will not take you as long as you think. Just sit down and read it. You'll find that it's challenging. It is deep, it is rich. The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that Paul says many things that are hard to understand, which the unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. But in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, this is God's word. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to understand and believe this, your holy word. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Paul is writing to a group of people that he wants to see. He wants to go visit. He's eager to go there. And one of the things that I want you to see in this passage is that Paul, who was an apostle, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who writes to the rest of us talking about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit and the need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul says that there was something he really wanted to do and that he planned repeatedly to do, only to have his plans thwarted, only to have it not work the way that he had intended. Now, you may be under the mistaken impression that if a person really walks in the Spirit and seeks to do the will of God, everything will just go like clockwork from our perspective. Okay? We will just find the closest parking space at the grocery store opening just as we arrive. Okay? You will find when you walk into the store that they have just marked down the thing you were hoping to buy for you. You will find that all of your loved ones find you the most reasonable and desirable of all their relatives and friends and acquaintances. Everyone everywhere will be drawn to you and will say, please tell us how our lives can become as grand as yours. That's not the way it works. The Apostle Paul wanted very much to go to Rome in order to minister to the people there. He wasn't hoping to go to Rome and open a new tent store. Paul was a tent maker. Okay, but that was not his motivation. He wasn't looking for new markets. He wasn't looking for a wife. He wasn't looking for something for himself. He was looking for the spread of the gospel, for the glory of God, for an opportunity to minister to others. And as he longed to do that, he made plans. Please look, verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. I planned many times. How many of you have ever planned something and had it not go as planned? Well, you just weren't walking in the Spirit. You just need to learn to die to self and embrace the work of the Spirit in your life. Well, Paul knew that. That wasn't the issue. Sometimes, even when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking to do the will of God, making plans in order to be responsible, it all just gets thwarted. And Paul had some really pretty good excuses. I'd love to come right now, but I'm really kind of bound up in some stuff here. Yeah, chains. Okay? Paul spent time in prison before he got to Rome. He would spend time as a prisoner in Rome too. But Paul repeatedly was getting arrested and thrown in jail. That messes up your plans. Paul had his rights violated repeatedly. Paul was lied about, mistreated, and horrible, taken out and stoned and left for dead. Wouldn't you feel if those kinds of things were happening in your life that maybe you were missing God's plan? You know, that maybe I misunderstood the directions here because I thought God told me to do this. Well, God did tell you to do this. Well, then what's the deal? Why did I get beaten up? Why did those people lie about me? Why did I end up in a jail cell totally in violation of my rights as a Roman citizen? I mean, isn't God supposed to look out for his own? He's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and he says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. I think a lot of us were basically given the impression that if we became followers of Jesus every day, we'd just be filled with circumstantial blessings. We would wake up in the morning and the sun would already be shining and the birds would be chirping and the sky would be blue, and we could walk outside discovering that while we slept, gentle showers had come and refreshed all the plants in our garden. It would all be easy and pleasant and nice, and that's what's supposed to happen. Well, that's not what happens in the Bible. It's not the way it was for Jesus, and Jesus told his disciples, that's not the way it's going to be for those who follow me. In fact, he said, if you're going to be my follower, let's get this straight. Go ahead and take up your cross and follow me. Jesus was talking about starting the discipleship journey with a commitment to follow Jesus even unto death. So we should not be surprised if it isn't all pleasant along the way.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Have you ever found that saying no to your own appetites that you know are not pleasing to the Lord is, you know, that I just feel good when I do that. I don't. But it's what Jesus says we have to do. And time and again, God calls us into situations where we are very clearly having to choose between gratifying sinful desires and saying yes to Him. He doesn't just call us to do what comes naturally. But I want you to see also, when God calls us to experience new life in Christ Jesus, it turns out that our intelligence, talents, personalities are all a part of the plan that God has woven together in order to accomplish things for His glory. The Apostle Paul wasn't told, look, I want to use you, but you're going to have to grow another 12 inches taller. You know? No. He wasn't told, Paul, listen, I'm sorry, but you spent too many years in school. That's really messed up your thinking now. No. He wasn't told your languages that you've learned so that you can speak in various languages to various groups of people. I'm not going to be able to use that. No, God used that. All those things God used. Nothing's wasted with God. But I also want you to see that Paul, who desired to do something good for the glory of God, was repeatedly frustrated and stopped from carrying out his plan. He made repeated plans. I planned many times, verse 13. Many times I made plans to come, but I've been prevented from doing so until now. I was meeting with someone earlier in the week and looking at the passage in Acts where the Holy Spirit stopped Paul and his companions, not just from going to Rome, but from going here. It was like, okay, well, I guess we need to do this. God says, nope, that's not it. Oh, well, okay, well then, this is obviously the choice. We go here. God says, no, that's not it. And God didn't say to them immediately what they were supposed to do. And it's in that context that Paul has the dream, the vision of the man from Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the phrase that's used following that in Acts is, concluding that this was the leading of the Lord, we made plans to go. It doesn't say Paul woke up and said, I know what we're supposed to do. It says, Paul said, okay, I had this vision. I think this is from God. I believe this is what we're supposed to do. And they concluded that it was and set out in that way. And it was. Sometimes we get it right. But even the Apostle Paul, to whom God revealed great things, through whom God spoke his word, even the Apostle Paul at times was not certain of what he was supposed to do, where he was supposed to go, what the timing was supposed to be. And he would make plans only to have them thwarted. Please understand that. I don't want you to have an unrealistic view of how God works in the lives of those who follow him. I've shared countless examples of how God has miraculously answered prayer in my life and has guided and directed, and those stories are all true, and I don't exaggerate them, but it would be very sad if you think that that's all the stories of my life, that it's always like that. That would give you a very false impression. So let me be sure. You can read my wife's books and you'll get more of this. But please understand, if you look back at the history of my life, I have repeatedly thought, aha, this is it. When we were living on Cape Cod, the desire in my heart and in my wife's heart before we met was to have a children's home. And so when I was pastoring on Cape Cod, one day I saw a piece of property up on a knoll overlooking Oyster Bay, and I thought, oh, that would be perfect for a children's home. And I drove up in there, drove around, and I thought, this would just be fantastic. And I went home, and I got my wife, and I said, honey, you got to come see this. And she went over, and she looked, and she said, wow, that has tremendous potential. Wouldn't that be exciting? Start the children's home right here in Chatham. That very day, after my wife and I had gone to look at that property, I got a telephone call from a fellow who said, Jim, can you meet with me this afternoon? I want to show you something. And I said, sure. I hung up the phone and I told Susan, Jerry wants to meet with us. She said, what do you think it's about? And I said, wouldn't it be something if he wants to show us that property? That was what it was. That was what it was. I mean, clearly, this must be it, right? I see it, my wife agrees, and now we get a phone call from a guy wanting to show us the property. It wasn't even for sale. It wasn't even for sale. Why would he call us that day? Obviously, this is God. Obviously, he's directing our steps. Obviously, we're going to start the children's home. We formed a corporation, East Village, Inc. You see, in Chatham, there was Chatham, there was North Chatham, there was West Chatham, and there was South Chatham. But there was no East Chatham because of the Atlantic Ocean. If you go east, but this was kind of on the eastern side, up on a knoll. I mean, perfect. East Village, Inc. And so the idea of a residential community for children who come from difficult situations, it just seemed perfect. And I got an assistant DA from the Boston area and a wonderful friend of ours who was a very successful corporate attorney and a friend of ours who had started a program in Ohio that was taken over by Ohio State University. They gave it to Ohio State University, and it was an educational program for children. And she knew all about developing programs that are educational and therapeutic for children. And I thought, you know, with that board, that name, that location, we're in business. And God said, okay, well, that was a nice dry run. You're done. What a disappointment. I wanted to have a children's home. My wife wanted to have a children's home. We were just doing this pastorate thing because God said do it. But our desire that we felt was the vision that he'd put in our hearts was the children's home, and it wasn't happening. Crushing disappointment. God, why did you show us that property? Why did all those other pieces fall into place only to be thwarted? Well, we needed practice. I mean, there are lots of lessons, but I want us to focus in on the one. And that is, you can make plans as a spirit-filled apostle of God, which Paul was, only to have those plans thwarted. And it doesn't mean that you were in sin. It doesn't mean that you were out of the will of God. It means that God is working out his plan. Now, the title of this series, as I said before, is God's Plan Revealed. I want you to see in this passage, and this is by way of introduction to this book, I want you to see Paul had his plan that often didn't come to pass. On the other hand, Paul is writing to the church in Rome and telling them about God's plan, which has come to pass. God's plan is not like our plan. His ways are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. And I want you to see that even while our plans are frequently not turning out the way that we would like, God's plan is perfect, and it is being brought to fulfillment exactly on schedule. God is at work, even still today, accomplishing his purpose. It doesn't look like many of us would have scripted it. I never would have gone along with that part about Jesus dying on the cross. I would have just said, that's too great a price. For what kind of return? You're gonna sacrifice him for people like me? But you see, God's plan was to sacrifice his son in order that we could be saved. That's mind-blowing. That the perfect, beloved, only begotten of the Father would take my punishment and yours. Staggers us. Look at this, verse 2. Paul says, I've been called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Verse 2, the gospel he promised beforehand. Paul says, this isn't some improvisation on the part of God. This good news is what God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Do you remember Jesus saying, you search the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life, but they're all about me. The scriptures are all pointing to Jesus. That's what it's about. Read the book again from Genesis through Malachi. It's pointing to Jesus. And then Jesus comes on the scene and perfectly fulfills the prophecies that God had given. All those promises perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin in Bethlehem, even if we have to tax the whole Roman world to get him in the right place. Surely there would have been a more efficient way to do that. God says, this is my way. Because if we just sent Joseph and Mary, there would have been room in the inn. But if we get everybody there, it's going to be crowded and Jesus is going to be born, placed in a manger. And that's where I want him to start out. It was his plan. It was his plan. Perfectly orchestrated by God for his glory and our salvation. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, please understand this. Look back at the beginning of verse 2. The gospel. The end of verse 1 just before it. The gospel of God. What is the gospel of God about? It all builds, the whole thing builds to this. End of verse 4. Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel is all about Jesus. God's plan is all about Jesus. Through him, verse 5, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship, love this next phrase, to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. If you say, oh yeah, I believe, but your life doesn't change, you don't really believe. I believe the gospel's true. So I don't want to keep doing what I was doing before. I'm not going to keep doing what I was doing before. By God's grace, my life is going to be different. The good news is all about Jesus. And Jesus is Lord. And so through Jesus Christ our Lord and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called, another key phrase, to belong to Jesus Christ. I am his and he is mine. What a wonderful, glorious thing that God would call us his own. Not because we're so good and well-behaved, never run off, and he never has to look for us. We never go missing. We never mess up. No. The good news is that Jesus came to save sinners. I am so glad. I'd be in hell otherwise. But instead, I've been saved and preserved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You, beloved people, are told, you're called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so, verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really good news.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.